Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
2223, location cross of 3rd Avenue North, the Stallman building. The maintenance is smelling what he thinks is a dead person coming from inside the apartment. Fire department's en route.
On May 25th, 2016, a resident of an apartment building in downtown Nashville complained about a foul smell on the ninth floor. A maintenance worker named Catalina Moreno went up at 5:15 p.m. to determine the source. When Moreno got into the apartment, what he saw inside made him run out and call 911.
What's the exact location of your emergency?
My exact location is 211 Union at the Stallman. They said that it smelled like something died, and it smelled like it was coming from apartment 907. And I walked in there, opened a window, and I'm pretty sure that there may be somebody passed away on the bed back there.
You're doing the right thing.
The somebody was a 34-year-old woman named Lee Terry. Lee had not been heard from in almost 3 weeks before her body was discovered that day. She was found lying on her bed in a blue robe and a t-shirt. Her comforter was rumpled in a pile on the floor, and there was a bottle of Frejenet Cordon Negro champagne on the nightstand next to her. But Lee hadn't just died in her sleep. There was a gunshot wound to her right temple. In her hand was a Smith & Wesson Bodyguard 380, her finger still wrapped around the trigger. Her beloved Boston Terrier, Lana, was still alive. The dog was thin, but had survived in the apartment, and was calmly sitting on a pillow next to Lee when her body was found. After a 5-month investigation, Nashville police concluded that Lee's death was a suicide. But her friends and those who knew her well had questions. And so did I.
It all stems from allegations that emerged when Metro Police began investigating the death a young woman
named Lee Terry. Police concluded she killed herself last spring.
Police ruled her death a suicide.
The word came out during the Metro Police investigation into Lee Terry's death has become a much bigger story.
Lee liked men that were powerful and that had money. And that's that.
Shortly after her arrest, she called her attorney, who had told her she'd gotten herself into big trouble and would now need to do something equally big to get herself out of it.
She said, "Well, I slept with a judge. And I feel nasty."
This city has grown way too big, way too fast, and there's a lot of old issues and a lot of old problems and a lot of old things that take place behind closed doors that's just a gentleman's handshake, and that's gotta stop.
Once Upon a Time in Nashville, a new true crime series, available May 23rd anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Too Niche. This is the show where we pick a topic and we haul it. I'm your host, Elizabeth Cott. I'm so happy you're here today. I feel like last week there might have been a shock and surprise in terms of Lara mentioning that it was her last time as co-host of this little haul show of ours. But if that was a surprise to you, I invite you to check out our careers haul that happened a few weeks ago, where we talk in depth about the decision that she and I came to together in terms of the future of Too Niche and all of that. So we did talk about it. It is probably the last 20 minutes of an episode that was quite lengthy, admittedly. So I point you in that direction if you want the tea, but the tea is there really is no tea. It's just that Lara is really busy with SUP. As you guys know, it's a massive show. They're about to embark on a tour. She's also executive producing another podcast, Once Upon a Time in Nashville, that you guys definitely should check out if you haven't yet. A great little true crime limited series. And she's writing. And meanwhile, I'm here, ready to haul. If you're new to Too Niche, in addition to being the premier audio haul show on the planet, I really see this show as an informational deep dive on culture, on consumerism, on where those two things meet one another. And really the future of the show, what I see it as, is we will be continuing to haul. We will be continuing to get into delightful niche topics. There'll be some solo hauls with that are just me, and there'll be some guest haulers that I am very, very excited to welcome into the Two Niche folds. It's going to be really fun, and I'm so happy you're here. Before we get into today's haul, a few things of note. One, over the weekend, I checked out my friend Jade Catapretta's Big Happy Comedy Tour that kicked off at the Bourbon Room. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Jade, but she's an incredible stand-up comedian, like the type of comic that I forget that I know them when they're up on stage. Just so good. And also on the tour lineup with her is none other than Billy Lee from Vanderpump Rules. So obviously, in addition to going out to support Jade at the Bourbon Room, I was quite interested to see what a Billy Lee stand-up experience was like. And I have to tell you, I really enjoyed it. She was funny, seemed very like she'd been working on the craft and sort of the cadence and just the jokes. And it just was like a really entertaining set. So if anybody is in a city where the Big Happy Comedy Tour plans to be visiting, I highly recommend going to check them out. Also for Pride, I really lived. I went to a 9:45 p.m. Kylie Minogue show in West Hollywood closing out Pride, which I was nervous and excited about. I went with one of my besties slash friend of the show, the man who saved the sandwich hall, Ryan. We were both nervous about a 9:45 p.m. show that on a Sunday. That felt like a very tall order for two elder millennials to embark on soberly, as both of us don't drink. And we did it. We were there for about an hour and 15 minutes. Kylie radiated. I had never had the pleasure of seeing her live, and she just sounded amazing. The stage looked incredible. I had the time of my life, and I was home, you know, promptly afterwards. So that was really all I needed. In Two Niche Land news, I am very excited to announce something I've been ideating on for quite a while now, and it is officially available. I have launched the Two Niche Mood Board over on Substack, which is a free offering in which all of the links and notes of whatever has been mentioned in the episode can be all found in one place. This, to me, is the second coming of my Zoe Report days. As you might have heard in the Careers Hall episode, my background is in digital newsletters. When I launched and managed the Zoe Report way back in the day, and you know, to be honest, after I left that job, I was like, newsletters, never again. However, as opposed to just dumping all of the links and notes in the episode description, as I've been doing, I really wanted a separate place for all of this to live and to add to the world that is Two Niche. My favorite part of developing podcasts is really building out the world and creating a sense of community for us all to connect on the episodes, find references, find links, et cetera, et cetera. So I present the Two Niche Mood Board. For right now, the plan is for it to come to your inbox once a week. However, I really don't like getting emails myself. I don't want to inundate anyone's inbox with too many emails for me. So I'm going to start it off as a week-to-week basis where each week the show notes from the episode will show up in your inbox. However, I am not opposed to moving that to a monthly or even an every other week thing. But so we're in discovery mode. We're going to figure it out. But I invite you to head over to the Substack link that is in the description of this episode. Sign up, and for the next 2 weeks, Anybody within the United States who signs up will be entered to win a Sleep Crown Traveler. There is a tiny handful left of the collaboration that I did with Sleep Crown, the Elizabeth Traveler, the delightful luxe over the head pillow that is just a must have for anyone who sleeps. There's a handful of these left. I have two to give away. So I'll announce a winner next week and then I'll announce another winner the following week. So anybody who signs up for the Substack and is in the US will be entered to win that. So I'm delighted to be launching this. It feels really exciting. And I think it's time to just get to the haul at hand. Before I announce what the haul is, even though if you're looking at your phone right now, spoiler alert, it's right there. But let me just take a moment to tell you about today's guest hauler. She is a celebrated stylist, a best-selling author for her book, Wear It Well. I think that many of you are familiar with her work. And if you're not, I am so excited to introduce you to her. I've got Allison Bornstein joining me to haul summer accessories. Welcome.
Yay, thank you for having
me. To the show.
Yay.
Of course. I'm so excited that you're here. Our first official guest hauler in this new era of Too Niche.
I'm so excited to be part of this new era. I loved the old era, but I'm also so excited for this new chapter. I think this is going to be excellent. I'm a listener.
Amazing. You're a nichesta.
I
love that.
Yeah.
So I put a call out. I was sort of like in discovery mode for just trying to mine for some topics. And I think 60% of the questions that we got from listeners or feedback in terms of what they wanted was fashion related.
Great.
And I was like, I know just the gal, but also to distill it, to niche it down more, it was really summer accessories related. So that was really the inspiration for this conversation. And I have to tell you that your social media presence and the knowledge that you give out there is so valuable, and I just enjoy it so much. And I think in this era of like screen addiction and whatnot, I just really celebrate anybody who's just like totally in their pocket and just like doing great work out there. So
thank you. That means so much. It's always so... And like when I started sort of my career, you know, as a stylist, I kind of chose that because I'm like, okay, I like to be behind the scenes. I like to kind of just be like, I'm not the star of the show. But now with social media, it's like you really have to put yourself out there, which is not necessarily like the most, it's not really my nature, but that makes me feel happy that you like what I'm putting out.
I adore it. So we're going to start with footwear because I think that we maybe got 25 questions regarding summer sandals.
Great.
But also, before we get into the haul of it all in terms of hauling advice for summer accessories and giving recs, we got to talk about one of the things that you're most known for that honestly, I heard this and I didn't even realize it was you at first was the mother of this concept, but the wrong shoe theory.
Amazing. Okay. I love that it's bigger
Speak
than
to
me.
Us.
I love that.
It's bigger than
it's
you.
It's bigger than
for
me.
Sure.
It's bigger than I could ever be. So the wrong shoe theory is basically something that I came up with to help clients give their looks a little bit of interest and a little bit of twist. So basically what I say is go for the less likely shoe. So let's say that you are styling an all kind of white or tonal or like cream look. I feel like often we will feel like we have to get a cream shoe or a nude shoe just so everything kind of matches. But I think as a result, that will make the look feel... it'll sort of lack depth or it'll feel like quote unquote basic. I think what you should do there is like pick sort of the wrong shoe. Maybe it's a black shoe. Maybe it's a fun color shoe. It's kind of all about pushing your boundaries a little bit and adding something with potentially like a different aesthetic, a different color, or a different shape than the rest of the look. And I really like this tip because it's free. You can do it with the shoes that you have. And it's so low stakes because let's say you put on a shoe and it's not working. It's like, cool, you take it off, big deal. But I think it really just sort of forces you to try new things and to give your look a little bit of that like different texture or different twist.
I love it. It's so good. And there's three main tenets of summer shoes that I need to get into and questions that I have for you. First and foremost, can we talk about the Alaia flat?
Absolutely.
I feel like I'm thinking the studded version and the netted one. The dupes that are available out there in the world are vast at this point.
Yes. There's a few things to say here. So first of all, just going to that idea of dupes, like I don't mind like a dupe, but I find that a lot of times we will have something in mind, whether it's something expensive like the Alaia flat or just like something super specific. And we feel, you know, maybe it's something that we can't afford right now, or it's like, we're not sure if this will be something that we wear all the time. We're not sure if this is like a good addition to our closet. So we'll get something that is similar, but less expensive. And then we'll feel unsatisfied. You know, like I call it like the cookie theory. You know, when you're trying not to eat something sweet after dinner and you're like, you really want a cookie. So you're thinking about a cookie and then you're sitting there, you're eating like 20 chocolate rice cakes, but you still really want the cookie. And eventually you'll probably eat that cookie, but you still also ate those 20 rice cakes. Again, like not to diet culture us, but do you know what I mean? So it's like having all these approximations of the things that you want will make your closet feel less wearable and less exciting. You know, I have clients who are like, oh, I really wanted this specific trench coat, but I bought one that was like kind of similar, but not as good. And I never wear it, but I still am not splurging on the trench coat that I want, because in my mind, I'm like, well, I have a trench coat, but I never wear this trench coat because I don't like it. So it's like, you're sort of, again, just creating a closet that's not functional and not, you know, not filled with things that you love. It's just approximations of things that you love. So that's kind of how I feel about dupes sometimes. I think some are great. Like if you're not sure if you really want to buy into the trend, I understand getting something a little bit less expensive. I always find that maybe you don't want like a dupe, but maybe you want like, let's say you love those mesh Alaia flats. I would go for something that doesn't look like it's trying to be the exact mesh Alaia flat, and maybe just like a different mesh flat, for example, you know, because then I think you won't feel like you have like the second best thing, if that makes sense.
As somebody who's like keeps an eye on what's out there on all the online retail sites constantly, I'm seeing obviously so much mesh. So it's like it's giving Kate, it's giving the row. It's just they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that obviously us being the age that we are have done the flat ballet flat thing again. So I personally have been a little bit hesitant to go back that way, but there's so many cute options.
Hang on, I'm going to show you something. I'm wearing a mesh flat right now.
Are those the Kate ones?
Yes. What nice I'll say job. Is that I'll say a few things about a mesh flat. First of all, they are a little like wrong shoe in general, which I like. I find that anything you put them with, there is sort of that twist. It does feel a little off in the right way. Do you know what I mean? So it's always giving a little bit of interest to a look, as opposed to like a normal ballet flat, which can feel super straightforward. This is always giving the twist. I think there's a lot of good options out there for mesh flats. Again, like maybe not the exact dupe of the Alaia, but just things that give that similar energy. That's also something that I advise clients to sort of think about when they're shopping, is ask yourself, what do I really like about this Alaia flat? Do I like the netting? Do I like the Mary Jane strap? Do I like the buckle? Do I just sort of like the idea that it's trendy? Do I like, I don't know, like sort of the edge to it, and then sort of use that to find something that has a similar vibe or a similar energy. For me, I liked the mesh flats. I like them because I kind of liked being able to see my toes. I thought there was something kind of like fun about that. I love a closed-toed shoe better than a sandal. So I was like, oh, this is a great in-between for me. So as a result, I went for like a nude color mesh flat because I was like, okay, if this is sort of my goal, this is the way I'm going to achieve it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
The row has been doing sort of like the sock shoe for a minute.
Yes.
And they did a version of it that has like a lucite little heel.
Cute.
So it was the sock shoe lucite, tiny lucite kitten heel. And I had been trying to track these down for like 2.5 years. And I finally saw that they got them in at the Real Real location in West Hollywood. And I went and I was so excited. And I tried them on and they looked insane on me. They were not working. It was the wrong shoe, like actual wrong shoe theory.
A literal wrong shoe.
And yes. And so I didn't end up getting them. So that's just a little story about a sock shoe.
One thing about that is like, I really love that because I find that often, like I was saying with like kind of the cookie theory of like eating the cookie, if you wait on it for a second, it will come, it will go on sale. They'll have it at a resale store. Like if you wait, and if this is something that you really, really want and you're really committed to getting and you really think it's going to be a good part of your wardrobe, like if you wait, you'll get it. And I know like in today's, you know, not to be a hater, but like in today's culture, everybody wants things like now, instantly, like we need everything like this second. But I think there is something to be said about like waiting for the thing that you actually love, because then as a result, your wardrobe will be filled with things that you covet and that you love instead of things where you're like, eh, fine, I'll just get this.
Is there a brand that you think are doing sort of the like higher end essence of the flats that we're seeing everywhere that you would recommend?
Yeah, this brand, this is still like expensive-ish, but I think they're really like very pretty. Dear Francis is the brand. Have you seen those?
Yeah,
they're really pretty, because what I will say about the row sock shoe is that because it's sort of a sock shape, it comes up a little higher on the ankle, which like can be a little tricky. I think that looks great with like a pair of like slouchy jeans or a pair of trousers, but like it can be harder with a dress or a shorter silhouette. So I love that the Dear Francis are a kind of lower profile and you can see a bit of the top of the foot. And I find that that is the key if you want to wear these mesh flats with like a pair of jeans or a longer skirt or even a shorter skirt. It's just like the showing of the top of the foot. It's key. Like
much more flat as a 5 foot.
Right.
As a 5 foot tall person, you got it. You can't cut at the ankle.
You got to show the top of the foot.
It
makes a huge difference. Yep.
Talk to me about your view on, I think this is really the second or third summer where the Adidas Sambas are reigning supreme. And I, for one, like them. I have yet to find a colorway in my size at all. Like, they're just not available. But I also think that they are sort of so worn in mass that I'm curious if there are, like, a great alternative that you recommend.
Yeah, I still also like an Adidas Samba. I always find that shoes like that, I don't know if I want to call them timeless or trendy, because they really do go in and out of kind of popularity, but they're always there, if that makes sense. So yeah. Sometimes everyone's wearing them, sometimes no one's wearing them, but like they've been worn for years, which is something that I think I like about them, because there is kind of like that retro-ness about them. There is that idea that it feels, again, like I guess maybe timeless or maybe classic because they've been around for a long time. So I do like them. I like those Onitsuka Tigers too. They have like a similar profile. Do you know those?
Yeah. I like them in silver.
I do too. I like a silver sneaker. That's another like easily wrong shoe sort of situation. I find that sometimes with like something like a Samba, people will like the look of it, but they don't want that exact piece, which I totally understand, but I think that they're not sure sort of what to search for or what it is that they like about that. And I feel like what people love about the Samba is that it's a lower profile sneaker. For a while, we were wearing a lot of those chunky sneakers and really chunky shoes. So this kind of does feel like a departure. So if you are somebody who wants a Samba or wants the look of a Samba, I would search for like a lower profile sneaker, like the Onitsuka Tiger, like a Gola, like some of those more like even like a Vans or Converse, just something that isn't super chunky and has that lower profile. And that works really well with the other trends that are happening right now, because I think with like the slouchy jeans and the longer jeans, it's kind of nice to have something at the bottom that is a little bit sleeker. So yeah, I feel like that's why the Sambas are really popular.
That is a great alternative that you just suggested.
Great.
And guess what? All the links are going to be available on the Too Niche Mood Board, which is a new Substack that I have been working on quietly for a little bit. That Genius. Allison was actually, we were walking the Silver Lake Reservoir, and I was like, I have this idea for a place where all the show notes and all the links and just all the little sort of things that are mentioned in the episode can live. And you're like, I think that's a really good idea.
It's a great idea.
And then I went home and did it. I started it right after.
You're a real go-getter.
We went on that walk.
You're a real go-getter.
I needed that little nudge.
It's a great idea. I'm so excited.
You can find a little link to this in the show notes that will bring you to links of everything and visuals that we mentioned today in this call.
Genius. And I feel like it'll look so much better. Also, it's nice to get it in your inbox, and it's nice when it looks kind of aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah. So we got so many questions about sandals. I need to pull up exactly some of them so we can get specific, so we can get niche with it. It's literally just summer sandals was the prompt. Thoughts, feelings. I know you mentioned you like a closed toe.
I do like a closed toe.
But let's say we're open toe.
Yes.
We're in an open toe wrong shoe theory world.
We're in an open toe. Okay. I think that if you're not sure what sandal to get, I would look in your wardrobe or look at things that you wear that you love in terms of footwear and ask yourself, what do I like about this? Sort of similar to what we were talking about before. So are you somebody that is going to go in the fall and winter for a really lug sole boot? That might be a good indicator that you might want a chunkier sandal or something that has a little bit more of more substance, a little bit more weight. Or if you're somebody that likes a ballet flat or a kind of more sleek, elegant, pointed toe boot, maybe you want a more minimal sandal. I feel like that's something really interesting to think about, because I feel like when we're going into a new season or just looking at a new category, it can feel so overwhelming and there's so many options and so many different directions to go. And I think just kind of looking at what you're attracted to, what you wear, I think that's really helpful, because if you are somebody that's normally leaning on a chunky shoe to give you a little bit of weight at the bottom of your look, you might want the same thing in a sandal. Just something to think about. I like a more minimal shoe, as you can see by my mesh sandals. I like something a little sleek. And I have found that the really minimal sandals from A. Emery are so comfortable. Oh, they're great. You're going to love them. They're really comfortable. They have a lot of really nice colors. I just love those. They're really, really nice if you want something a little bit more minimal. If you want something slightly chunkier or something more directional and modern feeling, I mean, I always like the shoes from Vagabond, and they have great sandals, especially kind of in the chunkier variety. Oh, St. Agni. They have great sandals. A lot of those Australian brands, I feel are excellent for... A. Emery's also Australian. Those Australian brands are great for bathing suits and sandals and summery dresses. Those Australians really know how to work a summer look.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
that tracks.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's move on into the world of sunglasses.
Yes.
You always have great pairs.
Thank you. I love sunglasses. I really do. I think because we have a similar face shape, I feel we can do a lot of different sunglasses, not to brag.
just a little light flex.
Yeah.
Thank you so much to one of our sponsors today, Osea. We have got to talk about Osea's Undaria LG Body Oil. I mentioned this product on my Q2 Obsessions in Rex Hall because it is one of those products that just screams summer to me. It is bottled with all natural uplifting notes of mango, mandarin, grapefruit, lime, and cypress. It smells so good, and it just gives you that gorgeous glow. And in a brand full of A pluses, this is a hero product from Osea. You know, I subscribe to something that I call the mini theory, which is essentially that if a product comes in multiple size offerings, it is an amazing product. And such is the case for Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil that comes in its standard size, a mini size that I happen to have with me on vacation right now, and a jumbo size. So get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code NICHE at oseamalibu.com, and you'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. So head over to oseamalibu.com and use code NICHE for 10% off.
So I came up with something called the three-word method, which is essentially choosing three words to define your style or to kind of give you like personal guidelines for your own style. This is gonna connect to the sunglasses. Just give me a second. So the way that you find your words, your first word is your practical word, and you find that by looking in your wardrobe, pulling out the things that you actually wear all the time and asking yourself, how would I describe these things? Okay, so let's say you are pulling out your regulars or the things you wear all the time, and you're like, oh wow, like I tend to go for things that are really minimal or really classic or really comfortable. So that's your first word. Your second word is your aspirational word. And the way that you find that word is by looking at the things that you're attracted to. So the things that you screenshot, the things that you pin on Pinterest, you know, the things that you like on Instagram. And you can look at all of those things. I like to like put them in a folder and sort of ask myself, how would I describe these things? Now, don't freak out if the practical word is totally different than the aspirational word, okay? Because what makes style so interesting is that tension and that contrast. So let's say that your practical word is something like comfortable or casual, but then you are looking at all the things that you're attracted to and you're like, oh, I really like a more elegant, sleek, elevated look, except for, I mean, that's not really what I'm wearing, but that's just like a good guideline. It's a good North Star to have that second word. And then the third word is your emotional word. And that's when you ask yourself, how do I want to feel in my clothing? Do I want to feel slouchy and cool? Do I want to feel polished and put together? Do I want to feel sexy? Do I want to feel powerful? And the combination of those three words are your recipe. Those are the words that will just, again, they don't have to be set in stone. They can change, they can evolve, but they're just helpful because, like I said, there is so much out there. There's so much to buy, there's so much to see. This just gives you some guidelines. Now, this is how this relates to sunglasses. I like to have one pair of sunglasses for each of my three words. So, for context, my three words are classic, and I found that word just by looking in my wardrobe and seeing, wow, I have a lot of jeans, a lot of t-shirts, a lot of sweaters, just like really classic pieces. My second word is 70s, and my third word is elegant. I like to sort of have just like a little bit of polish, a little bit of something extra. So classic, 70s, and elegant. So I have a pair of sunglasses that are really, really classic, a pair that kind of have that 70s sort of vibe, and a pair that are elegant. Now here's the real key. You're not gonna wear them how you think. So let's say that you're wearing a look that feels really 70s. I'm not gonna grab my 70s pair. I'm gonna maybe grab something that's classic or elegant. You wanna use the sunglasses to sort of pick up the slack for the word that isn't present in the look. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if your style is made up of all of these three elements or all of these three aesthetics, you want to make sure that each one is sort of present in some way in the look. And having your sunglasses represent one of those words is a really good way to do that. And it also, so again, like if I'm in a really 70s look, I'm not going to pick my 70s sunglasses because then it's like I'm wearing a 70s costume. And like that doesn't feel modern. That doesn't feel like me. I'm going to go for like something a little bit more elegant to kind of elevate it. Or I will go for something really classic, again, just to kind of create that contrast. So that is what I advise with sunglasses. That was a really long answer. Another tip with sunglasses is, I think personally, it's like a wedding dress. You need to go try them on in person, and you need to try on the ones that you like think are going to be horrible, because sometimes it's the ones that you're like, oh God, those are not going to look good on me, that you put on your face and you're like, oh wow. You know, it's again, like, it's such a low stakes thing to try to. It's not like you have to, like, get naked. You just throw them on. So I like to go to, like, department stores or Warby Parker or places that have a lot of options, try a bunch on, take pictures, and then kind of, like, sit with it for a second. Because again, the ones that you think you like are never, for me at least, the ones that you end up getting. It's always like those wild cards, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What brands are you gravitating towards right now in that space?
I mean, I love a designer sunglass. I really do. Although they've gotten so expensive recently.
I have retired buying designer sunglasses, and I was a designer sunglasses girly for like 2 decades.
Do you feel like just like the quality isn't there, or you lose them?
I feel two things. Losing them. Mm-hmm. It's like I can't handle the stress of mm-hmm. the potential of losing them. Mm-hmm. And then also I like no insignia on my sunglasses. I like a clean, like, we don't know where that's from. And I've found a few brands that have no branding that are still really well made and still a bit of an investment, but not in a way that I will, you know, have a downward spiral if I lose them.
What were the ones you were wearing when we went on our walk? Because those were really cute.
Those are from Vela.
Love.
Which I believe is an Australian brand. There you go.
They know what's Australian up with summer theory. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And those I like. I have 3 pairs from them, actually. They have if you go on their site, they have a kind of a gimmick situation where you get 2 for the price of 1, but if you use that promo, they're not returnable. So it is a risk. I love those. They're just well made. They're sturdy. I love the styles. They're super flattering. But then the other brand that I'm really into right now is called Port. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right, but Port Tanger.
Port Tanger. I don't know it.
They carry them on Frankie Shop and Essence, and they are amazing. And they're in like the $200-$300 range.
Fabulous. There's also a brand called CHIMI. They also have it on Essence and Shop Up. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Those are really cute too. I also like, I'm maybe like so basic and weird, but like I do love Warby Parker.
Any specific style?
Yes. I think it's called the Harris. It's almost like a Wayfarer type of shape, but, but a little, narrower.
Okay.
It's very cute.
That's good to know.
But yeah, because again, like I like to go try on. I mean, you could also like order them from Essence and do like a little try on with yourself. But I like to try them on, and like I'm a, you know, something that I talk about a lot on my social media is just being like an intentional shopper. And so I really like to think through purchases and like take a few days and really, you are too. You're like that too.
Yeah, I don't impulse buy. Yeah. I truly can no longer do that. I think it's because from having the resale business that I had for so long and truly taking on other people's unwanted items, and I had literally a showroom of all the things people didn't want anymore for 4 years.
It's shocking.
So it's a lot to take, like emotionally. You just feel like people's unwanted items were then like kind of holding me down. I can't not to be like too deep with it, but I could just feel like I could see the through line in like what people held on to and what they discarded.
What was the through line?
I think it was, you know, things that had like non-flattering cuts.
Yes.
So like more blousey kind of things that had funny detailing. Like, you know how Zara will always have like a pleat, or there'll be like a button in the sleeve, or you know, that sort of stuff. Like those things stand out as quick little trends or quick little like cheaper things to add to an item to make it current. And that stuff just doesn't really sustain.
That's a really good observation. Me and my friend always call it like too many ideas. Like sometimes it's like, you know, in an attempt to sort of differentiate the product, like a brand would be like, oh, a white button down shirt, but like, let me add a pleat to the back. It's like, we don't need the pleat. Like the pleat is what's going to,
like a tie.
Yeah. Is what's going to like make us resell it. I was having a thought yesterday. I'm going to work it out here with you, because I also, you know, I I don't take on people's things, but I help people edit their wardrobes. And I found that sometimes, or actually a lot of times, I'm advising people actually to keep the trendy item, even if you're not wearing it. Like, for example, let's say you buy these Alaya mesh flats, and then you're not wearing them for a few years. I feel like that's actually something really interesting to keep, because in a few years, in 10 years, if you have a daughter, like, that would be something really fun, because it's like such a time capsule of the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, the same way.
Absolutely.
When you and I were growing up, you know, like those sunglasses with like the big Dior logo were so cool, or like the Fendi.
The pierced Dior.
Yes.
I have those still.
Or like, and I don't, because I was like, oh, like, you know, I'm never going to wear these again. They're too trendy. Or even just like the little Fendi baguette, which was like so big during Sex and the City, is now like also big again. There was a time where it wasn't as popular, but I think holding on to actually those trendy items, I don't know. There's something about it, as opposed to like, you know, a really nice white button down, like from the Row. Yeah, you could hold on to that too, for sure. But also, I don't think you're ever in danger of like not being able to find a really classic white button down, the same way that it would be like, oh, we can't get those Dior Pierce sunglasses unless you go on the Real
Real. Sure.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it goes with my ethos, but it is something that like I talk about with clients.
I think for a fashion collector who loves to invest in things, I think holding on to those key trend things and watching them cycle back through is really kind of the fun of the investment and the collecting.
Yes.
I had purchased maybe like 15 years ago. Do you remember the YSL Artie ring?
No, wait, tell me what it looks. Oh, wait.
Describe it to me. It has like a stone in it, and it, so it's like the ring part, and then there's like a circle stone that sort of can go over the knuckle.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So I am ready to wear that again. I've decided 100%. That like this ring is ready to like come back into the rotation. And I'm 100%. So excited.
Because, okay, I also had, when I was, I don't know, this is probably 2014, Alexander Wang had these like slippers that had the really, really big silver studs on them. Do you know what I'm talking about? They were like,
yes.
Okay. So they were kind of like a lattice like grid, but then like they had these huge silver studs, and mine actually broke because I wore them so much. But now I have like a Kate version of like these studded flats. And I'm like, I would have been so excited to pull out those Alexander Wang version of those, even though like it's not like the shoe right now. That would have made me really happy to pull back out, you know.
Totally.
I have like another theory, but when people are nervous if something is timeless or trendy, I always ask, or if something is a good investment, like if a trend is a good investment, I always say, okay, if you buy it and then you don't wear it for 10 years, would you be excited to pull that version back out? Or would you want the upgraded version? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, is it so specific that you feel like in 10 years, you're not going to be excited to wear it? You'd want the like new version, or would that be something exciting? And like with those Alexander Wang, I would have been really excited to have those if they weren't broken.
I know the Kate reference that you're making, right? And they have a wedge version that I want so badly.
They're very cute.
They're very, very cute.
But yeah, like that's something like I'm learning now, because I've moved a lot. You know, I moved from New York to LA, and I've moved like a ton in New York, and I'm always like purging and sort of getting rid of things. And now I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to sort of look at this through a new lens, as opposed to just being like, okay, this is trendy. Like, I'm kind of tired of this. Like, I should just get rid of it.
On the trend button, I want to move us into belts.
Yeah.
Because what instantly comes to mind when I think of the stud Kate shoe, I think of the stud Kate belt, silver in particular, that was having such a moment this past year, and I was coveting it, and now I don't really think that, I think it kind of hit its like trend height.
Peak. Yeah.
And talk to us about like belts, and I think it's such a beautiful way of finishing off an outfit and like tying things together. Where do we go with that? What do we do?
I'm like a number one. I'm like the belt enthusiast. I love a belt. I think a belt, like you said, it finishes off a look. To me, it's like if you're wrapping a present, it's the bow. It's the ribbon. It's like you don't need it, but like that's really just what's going to take it to a next level. And it's such an easy thing to add. Like it's very easy. I feel like often people will think, you know, I don't really want to wear a belt because I don't want to draw attention to my middle section. Or does that mean I have to do a front tuck? I actually think that adding that belt sort of breaks up the proportion in a nice way and draws the eye to the waist, not necessarily like the tummy or like a perceived pooch that you have. I think it's like drawing the eye to the waist actually is a lot more quote unquote flattering than you might think, even though it might feel a little counterintuitive. So I love a belt. In terms of that cape belt, I agree that it kind of reached its peak, but I think that the idea is still relevant. So I think what is so great about that belt is that it's like a statement. It has some weight to it. It's interesting. You're going to add that to like jeans and a t-shirt and the look sort of, you know, it goes to the next level. So that being said, maybe it's not that belt that you want or need, but maybe it is a belt that feels interesting. Maybe it's a belt with like, you know, a more sculptural buckle. Maybe it's a belt that has studs, but like they're not like the big Kate studs. Maybe it's like a vintage belt, or, you know, maybe it actually has like little kind of studs around it. Mm-hmm. I think it's about taking that idea of like what is so great about this belt. And I think what people responded to is that it's like a very easy outfit maker, but we can find that in a different way. It can be a vintage belt. It can be anything. It doesn't have to be that belt.
I did find what seemingly looks like a really great dupe from a leather worker on Etsy that I'm like, should I?
Maybe. Does it?
It's a lower investment. It's like a $70 investment.
But does it look the same as the Kate? Like, would you? Yeah. Does it look the same as the Kate?
It definitely has that same essence without it being like too fussy or like over. It truly is like a leather worker, old school studs. Like, I mean, it's probably what the Kate was referencing.
I like that.
If I had to guess.
Yeah, I like that. I think, I think that would be like a smart thing if again, you're looking for the studs, you're looking for the edge, you're looking for that extra thing, then sure, like it doesn't have to be the Kate belt. Something else can do the same job for you.
What brands that aren't in the Kate price range that are maybe still well made and still, you know, an investment in terms of like it will get a lot of mileage in our wardrobe are you liking right now?
Yes. Okay. So if like the Kate price range is like $700, $500, we're going to go like a little lower and then we'll go a little lower than that. So like Kate is up here. I feel like the next tier, there's this brand called, I'm going to pronounce it so wrong, Dehanche, Dehanche. She's going to put it in the subs. She's going to put it in the newsletter. So don't you worry.
I sure am.
Those belts are so gorgeous. They're based in France. They're really well made. They are a great example of like pretty classic, pretty simple, but there's a twist on them, which I really like. So that's a great brand. People really like the Heaven Mayhem belts, which I think also have kind of like that artistic buckle, which is kind of gives that similar Kate vibe. There's a brand, they sell it on Net-a-Porter called Andersons. And even though the name sounds really American, it's an Italian brand. And the leather's really pretty. The buckle's really pretty. It's like so aggressively simple in a way that I think is great and timeless and really easy to incorporate. There's also, there's this British brand called Black and Brown. And they also have some super classic ones. Do you know that brand?
No, all I could think of was Below the Belt, and the fact that you haven't named them as the option, I'm elated.
Okay, great. The Black and Brown is like, I think like maybe it's like a similar price range to that. And they just have really pretty, like classic, but like with enough of a twist that it feels like, oh, like this feels special. There's one other one that's again, maybe like in like the $200-ish range called Deborah. And then the last name is Dra Ttel, and they have like some really cool like westerny ones, like, you know, Emmanuel Alt, who is like the former editor of French Vogue. I feel like millennials our age, like, we're all obsessed with her, with like the skinny jeans and like the cool like Isabel Moronti western belt. Like, she wears a lot of their belts, you know. They're like a little, they kind of have that Isabel Moron, like westerny feeling, and they're just so pretty and so well made. And then also, like, this is maybe really lame, but I love the belts from COS. I think they're so well made, they're so pretty, they are really classic. They have just like a black one with a gold like buckle that looks like the Row, and it's like great quality. It's really pretty. Like, I think COS is a really good resource too. And one more, Massimo Dutti. I just like that brand in general. It's like I think it's owned by the same people as Zara, but like
it is. They now infused it. If anyone's a Zara app user, which I tend to peruse mainly for their home stuff, but Massimo Dutti is now in the Zara app, all in one place.
They have really nice, like, for example, I splurged and got that like Kate like leather rope tie belt, and then I saw that they had one that was like exactly the same. I was like, oh, like this would have been something excellent to get at a cheaper price. But they have I think I like Massimo Dutti more than Zara because I think they are looking more at like the ideas of the trends, or kind of like the sort of aesthetics, or like that the kind of atmosphere, instead of doing like a one-to-one copy. So they'll have things that I think kind of look like that minimal the Row Totem kind of vibe, but like it's not like an exact, like it's trying to be the same thing, which again, that's, I feel like, sort of the thesis of this conversation. It's like the exact like one-to-one dupe is, I feel like, not always the best option.
Completely sometimes it agree.
Is, but yeah.
Tapping in to what's quote unquote trendy is not always the best use of money. I think when it comes to investment pieces, like, I'm a price per wear girly.
I know you're so really good at that.
It's like, I will spend money if I know that I can wear it enough for it to pay off.
It's a really,
and
a
not, and sometimes that's not always the trendy piece from the, where, you know, fill in the blank category. But for instance, like a pair of denim that I know I'll wear twice a week for indefinitely, that's where I'll splurge. Or like a great blazer or a great jacket or something like that that I can wear a ton. Where I have trouble, you know, investing a lot of money in is like a dress for an occasion.
Okay,
like
that to me is tough. Genius of you, because I think often I'll find that people, or maybe we're conditioned to do the opposite, where it's like a dress for an event or like a really special, beautiful blouse people will spend a lot of money on. But it's like, but then if jeans are like $400 or $300, they'll be like, oh my God, I'm not spending that. But it's like, you're going to wear these jeans so much. Like, maybe that would be a better investment, as opposed to like a dress that you're going to wear to a wedding or a top that's really specific. Again, there's exceptions. You know, in my work and in my book and like when I work with clients, it's like, I'm not like a rule person. Like, I don't think there's any like hard and fast rules. These are all just kind of like things to think about, like kind of ideas, not rules.
Thank you to one of our sponsors today, Max Pope The Edit, an ultra-personalized luxury e-commerce platform for expertly tested, high-performing hair products.
The experience at Max Pope is uniquely formulated around the edits, featuring a curation of renowned hairstylist Max Gillis's gold standard of products designed by Need.
Each product is tested by a meticulous edit process by Max's Dallas-based salon, The House on Lovers, and held to a high standard of performance, packaging, fragrance, and hair health factor.
The hair edits include repair, color, scalp, control, volume, and a little something called the Too Niche Edit, which is curated in partnership with yours truly.
Max Pope carries brands like Sashawan, Machete, Wonder Valley, Oribe, David Mollet, Isles Formula, and R&Co.
So be sure to check it out and use the code NICHE for 10% off plus free shipping at maxpopetheedit.com.
That's code NICHE for 10% off and free shipping at maxpopetheedit.com. I love your book so much, too.
Thank
because
you.
It's called Wear It Well, Reclaim Your Closet and Rediscover the Joy of Getting Dressed. And the thing that I love so much about it is the intellect in which you speak about putting together an outfit and putting together a wardrobe, and so much of it almost as a wellness practice. And the clarity of thought and know thyself that needs to go into really building a wardrobe that excites you. I just had never heard anybody really lay it out in those terms as you do. And I love a good theory and thought process and all of those things. And it's just so beautifully done and so digestible and so applicable. So
thank
I just want to,
that makes obviously, me feel so happy. I think it's, you know, as women or men, as people, I think that there's sort of an idea that fashion is like frivolous and silly. And it's kind of one of those things. It's like, you either have taste or you don't, or you have style or you don't. But I think that's not true. And I think that fashion is actually so incredibly deep, and people that have really good style are people that really know themselves and know what they like. And, there's so many exercises and ideas and ways to think about fashion that I think are really deep and really kind of, like you said, like kind of have that wellness angle. And yeah, getting dressed can be a fun process. It can be an expressive process, you know? Yeah. And I think that's sort of like the intention with the book. So thank you.
We have to talk about jewelry.
Yeah.
I think we'll end the haul with the category of jewelry. So many questions. I think in trend wise, we're in a really fun place right now with jewelry. Like, it's kind of coming back. We're at charms. We're at layering. We're bringing back the bangles. It's earrings. It's all the things, which I like. I, in particular, am like in a place of confusion in terms of the earring zone we're in right now. It's very, I'm seeing a lot of grandma. And I have tried. I got this real, I was very excited. I got this very cute pair of Heaven Mayhem silver earrings. Mm-hmm. And it was not working. It was giving deliberate 80s.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, these are going to be a return. But drop some knowledge.
Jewelry is my favorite category, and I think it's often overlooked, but the impact that it has is so incredibly strong that I feel like everybody should be playing with jewelry, especially in the summer. So in the summer, when we are wearing less clothes and there's less opportunity to layer, jewelry is like such an important thing to lean on. I feel like, you know, I often get questions about like, what do I do with like an easy summer dress? Like, I love it because it's so easy, but then you kind of just wear it one way and you're done. And my answer is always jewelry. So I have like two ways to look at jewelry. First way is that jewelry can add texture. And by that, I mean what you have right now, layering necklaces and adding some earrings and like having multiple rings. To me, that adds some texture to your look. It's playing with like different chains, it's playing with different textures, playing with different lengths, just kind of like it's adding like a little bit of that dimension to your look. And I think that when you feel like your look is missing that, like that jewelry is a layered jewelry is a great place to add that back in. So if you are wearing, let's say, a beautiful silk summer dress, and normally you would want to add like a really textured knit to that, the summer version of adding that texture would be like adding some layered jewelry. Okay. The second way that I like to look at jewelry is it can also add structure. So let's say you have a really flowy summer dress. I love something like, you know, like a big pendant necklace or something that's like a little bit more architectural, or like an earring that feels like a little bit architectural. I feel like that's a great way to add that kind of wrong shoe idea, to add that contrast, but just by adding like one kind of like structured architectural sort of artsy piece. That's kind
of, the pendant you're wearing?
This is Sophie Buhai, but there's this brand called Bagatiba that has a really similar one in gold that is so pretty. And one of my friends has it, and I've seen it in person, and it's gorgeous. So I think that it's nice to have a few different kind of options for jewelry, but I don't think you need a lot. I think jewelry can be like a really edited and really personal category. I also like sometimes, so I do like one-on-one FaceTime sessions with people, and Sometimes I'll send links after if there's something that we think that they're missing. We'll kind of like think about what like the thoughtful additions would be. And sometimes with jewelry, I hesitate to send ideas because I think that it's so personal and like such a discovery that I feel like you kind of want to find the pieces that really speak to you, and you kind of want to find them yourself instead of like having, you know, no hate, but like those like kind of pre-made stacks. Sometimes it's like,
sure,
that sort of to me defeats the purpose. I think you want that kind of like through line that kind of goes through all of your looks. You want it to feel personal. You want it to feel genuine. You want it to feel like a real like collage, you know,
a
on your
story,
neck. A story. Yeah.
One of my favorite little tunnels to get into on the Real Real is the jewelry section.
100%.
There is, for lack of a better word, there's some gems there.
100%.
Sure.
Yes. And Etsy.
That's what I'm doing late night on my iPad.
Yeah.
Etsy too. Yeah.
If you have, so I will sometimes look at like those higher end vintage jewelry websites. Like I'll look at like Doyle and Doyle or Turner and Tatler, and I'll look at sort of like the pieces that I'm attracted to. And I'm like, okay, I'm really like into this like Art Deco vibe. And then I'll go on Etsy and you can usually find it for so much cheaper, like also vintage, but it just doesn't have the markup of like a big retailer.
Curator.
Yeah. Curator.
Yeah. What about non-vintage brands that you're liking right now?
Okay. I love that brand Bagatiba. They have like a sort of like a Mariner chain, which is kind of like, you know what that is. It's like sort of like the circle chain with like two little like holes in it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It almost looks like
and
the
Gucci.
And then
it will like clasp like
yes,
this.
Yeah. They have one of those. I think it's called like the Onia, O-N-I-A. That is so pretty. So I love that brand. I like Sophie Buhai, who does like a little bit more of that like organic sort of sculptural artsy jewelry, which I really like. As mm-hmm. like somebody who likes the 70s, I love like a big pendant necklace, and like I like sort of that kind of groovier jewelry. Oh, Completed Works. That's a little bit on the pricier side, but their pieces are also really special and really cool. I love those. I mean, I also like Mejuri. I feel like there's some really nice pieces to be found at Mejuri. Like, I really like their like flat herringbone chain. I always find that that's a really nice, if you're like building a necklace stack, I think it's nice to have a flatter, more like shiny one, like a herringbone chain or a mm-hmm. snake chain or something like that, that just like gives it a little bit of like shine. So I feel like that's always something nice to add.
A good base.
Yeah, good
this
base.
This little diamond is from Mejuri.
Gorgeous. I love it.
A little fun fact.
Where are yours from? Yours are so pretty.
This pearl situation.
Yeah.
This like pearl pendant was my mom's.
Love it.
And the chain is from Catbird. And then this little medallion, it says Elizabeth on it. And my friend Babs had it in her jewelry drawer. We realized it said Elizabeth. And she's like, you have to have that.
That so, so nice.
That's how that came. And then my wrist stack is the snake and eagle cuffs from Rozark that I've had for like
so
17
gorgeous.
Years.
So gorgeous.
I'm obsessed with these. This is another thing that like recently came back around
yes.
for me.
Yeah. Yeah. This stuff, it comes back around. I feel like for jewelry, it's like, that's also like, you know, if you don't have a lot of space, that takes up no space. So I feel like that's something nice mm-hmm. to kind of collect. And that feels like a good investment. Again, something people will be like, oh, I don't really want to spend money on like a hoop earring or something. Cause I don't know, like it, they just don't, but like that's something that you would wear every single day.
Absolutely. And yeah, the price per wear with jewelry checks out.
Astronomical.
Who makes your rings?
Well, this is my wedding or my engagement ring. I wear it on the other hand because it just fits better here. It's vintage. Yes. And then this middle one's also vintage from the same place called Turner and Tatler. Ooh, this okay. is from this brand called, I mean, it's expensive, but it's so pretty. It's called E-R-E-D-E. They just have okay. like such it's like simple but gorgeous, I think. Mm-hmm. And then this is like the Cartier little three.
Just to say, my engagement ring is Sophie Ratner.
So pretty.
That we love. I love her stuff so much.
Yeah, really, really nice.
It's just like really simple and delicate.
I feel like there's so many incredible jewelry designers. I'll send you some more so you can put it in the
okay.
newsletter because there's some really fun ones. Oh, wait, one more. Sorry. This brand called LIE Studio.
Okay.
They sell on Net-a-Porter, but they also have their own website. It's, you know, those like two really chic Danish twins. that are like always on Instagram.
Which ones?
Maybe your listeners know who I'm talking about. They started this jewelry brand and it's just like really pretty. I have a few pairs of earrings from them and a necklace, and it's like very well made. Feels like kind of has that like kind of like slight vintage-y feeling, which I think is great for jewelry.
Speaking of which, speaking of newsletters, I recently signed up for your monthly newsletter that like drops it at the top of every month. I love it. And I discovered a brand that I had never heard of before.
Which
it
brand?
Was, there was a white top that you had linked out to, like sort of gauzy white top, and the brand, amazing price point.
Source Unknown.
Source Unknown.
That's a really good one. They have super cool things. I think they're British.
Okay.
Really, really cool. It has the essence of like being like designer, because I feel like this stuff is very well designed and very interesting and very special, but like at an incredible price point.
We don't see price points right now that are digestible to me. I feel like everything, no matter what, is $500.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
No, because that's, I think, a really good one.
Very few things are in that investment zone lately, but you go on Shopbop and it's like so pricey that it just it deters me from even wanting to browse. So it was just really fun to find something that I was like, oh, this stuff is unique and on trend, but not overly trendy, and in a price zone that feels like, oh, I could
try
explore
something.
This. Yeah.
That's like my favorite thing. I love with my newsletter and when I work with clients and like send them recommendations, like my favorite thing to do is like, I want at least like one thing from a brand that you've never heard of. Like that is my goal at the newsletter. Like I always am like, oh, I want to like, I want to give something different, because I feel like we see like the same shit all the time.
Totally.
So
we really do.
To explore.
And I think you really hit the nail on the head with this haul today, because I cannot wait to go and search for all these belt brands, these jewelry brands, all of the things.
I'm so happy.
I've learned so much today.
Thank you for having me. This was really so fun. I'm such a fan of yours, obviously, and the podcast. So this is great.
What a haul.
What a
so,
haul.
So guys, find Allison, find her on TikTok and Instagram. What's the hand? It's just Allison Bornstein.
Allison Bornstein 6 for some reason.
And she'll be linked in the Substack and in the show notes and whatnot. And her book is just an asset to the library. Wear it well. So wonderful. And as you mentioned, which I think is just such a genius business that you've cultivated for yourself, is these virtual styling sessions that I know you're booked to the hilt all the time, but I certainly plan on booking you myself
anytime you want. I'll come to your wardrobe.
Dream. So you do these virtual sessions where you offer going through people's closets, pulling looks together, the whole nine, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's really fun. We'll either like, well, we can do all of these things, but it's often like editing someone's wardrobe or making looks. And like recently now in the summer, I've had like a lot of appointments where it's like we're packing for a trip, or we're making looks for a trip, or making looks for the summer. Yeah, it's really, really fun. And then like I said, there's a tier where after the session, if we feel like there's anything missing, I'll send you some recommendations. But like with the intention of like, we sort of go into the session being like, you probably don't need anything, but if there's anything thoughtful that we can add or anything that isn't working that we might want to upgrade, it's all about kind of like this more thoughtful kind of curation to your collection, as opposed to just like shopping and buying and getting more shit.
One more question before we go.
Yes.
Because you mentioned packing. Ideal plain outfit for summer travels.
Great question. Okay. I always like a pant with a elastic waist, obviously. So, but like, I feel like that can be very chic. Like for example, I think I might put this in my newsletter, but, Solid and Striped, the Sophia Richie collab pants, that kind of are pull on and like look really chic. Also that brand Lissette has some good ones. So I
that's what I'm wearing right now.
Love like a cotton or a linen or like, you know, just like a softer pant that you can pull on. I like a t-shirt, and then I like a sweater, and then like depending on where you're going, maybe a jacket. But I find that having the layers give you a lot of options. So I like a comfortable pant. Maybe I'll do a post about this. A comfortable pant, a t-shirt, and then like a light sweater, something that you can kind of tie around the neck or around the waist, or just kind of have. That's my thought.
Genius.
And maybe some great jewelry.
Allison, thank you so much. Thank you. First official guest hauler for Too Niche in this new age.
New era.
So thank you so much.
I'm happy to be part of it. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, that is it for today's haul. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you joining me here today. And until next time, stay niche. Today's episode of Too Niche was hosted by me, Elizabeth Cott, and edited by AJ Mosley. If you enjoyed today's haul, please leave us a 5-star review and rating wherever you get your podcasts. And find us on socials at this_is_too_niche. And you can now get show notes from each episode directly to your inbox by signing up for the Too Niche mood board over on Substack.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding right your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new Quick Caribbean Escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
The designer event is now on at Bloomingdale's, and you don't want to miss it. Shop the most sought-after handbags, shoes, and ready-to-wear from the top luxury designers, all at incredible savings. This sale only happens for a limited time, online and in-store. So head on over to Bloomingdale's today and shop the designer event.